You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. Okay, full disclaimer, this episode is all about something that I am working on myself, and that is how to be better about getting out of a negative mindset. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick. I'm a board-certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and the owner of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood. Welcome back to the Wellness Big Sister podcast. This episode has been requested both on a poll that I did on Instagram where people were like, yes, I want to know just sort of tips, tricks, how to get out of a negative mindset, which it seems like we've all struggled with this at one point or another. And then it's also inspired by a phone call I had with my actual sister earlier this past week, just talking about how a certain patient interaction that I had, I was very anxious going into it. I was very anxious during, I was very anxious leaving it. And I didn't like how that one particular person had such an effect on my mood throughout like 3 or 4 days, right? And it was just challenging. And so I was telling my sister this and she goes, you know what? You need to do a podcast on how you help yourself and how just different tips and tricks you rely on to help yourself get out of this negative mindset. And so I thought it was a great idea. One that, again, I'm always working on, but one that was also very applicable to my life last week. And then just our overall health and wellness, because getting out of a negative mindset is part of how we make sure that our bodies, our minds, our spirits are all functioning in the way that we want them to. That way we can be more joyful throughout our whole like experience of life, right? And so just a little sort of catch up. Our summer shorty workout series is going on right now. And if you don't know what that is, this is part of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood, which is a wellness sisterhood focused on movement, mindfulness, fueling strategies built for us like wellness sisters and misters that just want to help fuel and build up our bodies in a way that can last for life in a science-backed way without all of the like mumbo jumbo that's surrounding social media. So it's focused on like science-backed fueling, science-backed movement, all the programming's created by me. And again, as a physical therapist, we learn a lot about muscle physiology, muscle strength, all of it. So that's what the Ella Wellness Sisterhood is. And we're running a summer shorty series, which is 4 weeks of our most loved shorty workouts, which are 10 to 20 minute workouts that they're our most loved and our most taken. Like everyone always gravitates towards these workouts because they're so targeted and super great for when you're in a time crunch. So we're doing a free 4 week series. I'll leave the link in the show notes, but we're starting it in July. So it's going on right now. It'll end around mid to late August. I'm going to give everyone time to be able to do the workouts because I want you to be able to try out the workouts, especially when you're on like a summer holiday when wellness and workouts are super hard to stay consistent with. So that's why I'm doing it in the summer, because I do feel like the shorty workouts are perfect for travel, but also perfect when we're short on time and during the holidays, summer holidays, whatever, when we want to spend time with our family, be at the beach, whatever it is. So that is going on right now. If you're interested, we'd love to have you join. Again, free, like there is literally no cost to it at all. I just want you guys to be able to have workouts and workouts and movements that make your body feel good and that are targeted in a super time efficient way for your summer vacations. And that way you can just try them all out and stay consistent with whatever your sort of movement workout goals are this summer. So that's our little catch up, but let's dive into how to get out of a negative mindset. And a little bit of a disclaimer, this is not going to be about toxic positivity. I'm not going to say like, just flip your mindset around and try and think of the positives that could happen, or why are you focusing on the negative? Why, like, start focusing more on the positive. It's so much deeper than that. And I'm not even sure that I really understood that prior to the last few years in my own life, right? For me, it was always hardwired in me to look at the bright side of things. I was definitely like a glass half full kind of person. And now that I've been through just like harder and harder like things. I almost cussed there, but I'm not going to, because then I would have to mark explicit on the podcast thing. But harder and harder stuff. It's just, it's easier for me to, I guess, relate to what other people have been experiencing, like way worse than I have, right? It's just, I don't know, it puts it in perspective, because it's not always easy for me over the past few years to be in that positive mindset that my body just kind of was used to growing up, because I had like a great childhood, a great schooling career, like all of it. There was nothing that was that hard hitting that happened earlier on to me that is happening like now. So I'm able to have a better perspective on what people talk about when they're talking about negative mindsets and when they're going through sicknesses or illnesses or friendship troubles or whatever it might be, or external situations, job loss, just patient interactions if you're a physical therapist or in healthcare, where there's just so many things that can affect it, and it's not all about being positive. And so again, this is not about toxic positivity. This is about awareness and sort of an active approach to managing that negative mindset. And if I've learned anything over the past 2 years or so, it's that this is unfortunately an active process. I feel like prior to the last 2 or 3 years, for me, like I didn't really have to put in hard work mentally in order to help divert from a like negative mindset, if that made sense. So if I had a bad day or something, it was always easy for me to get back on track into that sort of like joyful, positive self that I was just accustomed to. And recently, like again, over the past 2 or 3 years, it's required more of an active effort on my part. And I realized that's how it is. That's how it's, as we mature, as we age, as we experience all of these things that make up life, we're going to experience the good, we're going to experience the bad, and it's going to be work in order to help us not let that negativity affect us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and really work on ourselves and work on that awareness of what we're feeling in our brains and in our bodies in order to help get us back, and especially get me back to a point that I feel that internal sense of joy, that I feel that internal sense of peace. So as much as I'd like to say it's a passive process, I really feel like that has been one of the primary things I've learned, is that it is very, very active. Even if some of the times you can't see physically that someone's undergoing a negative experience or in that negative mindset, it is a very active process in order to get us out of that constant battle of like negativity, especially when it feels like life is just throwing us things one after the other after the other. So one of my very first things to sort of avoid toxic positivity, and before we start to dive into like just how I approach negative mindsets, and again, this is one of the ways, this is a super application-based strategy, but I call it a mindfulness check-in. And it's really where if I'm experiencing something, or if I notice my mindset veering more towards the negative, where I'm like, why is this happening to me? Why is it back-to-back things always happening to me? More of that victim mindset, rather than even judging myself for feeling that way, my goal is to check in. Like when I feel negative, where am I feeling that in my body? Like if I'm feeling that negativity, why am I feeling that way? What is the deeper reason behind why I'm feeling that negativity? So for example, with this patient interaction, and again, it was just it's a stressful anxiety. You're working with patients of all different backgrounds, of all different stages of pain, as a physical therapist, as a healthcare provider. And sometimes you just get people who are in such a state of pain, physically, emotionally, mentally, that it's hard for them to get out of that situation, and it starts to affect you. And so that's really the scenario I was in last week. And so I started to think, where am I actually sensing this? Why am I actually feeling this way? And I realized that it was because I was not able to affect her pain or her symptoms in the way that I wanted to immediately. I was not meeting her expectations, and her expectations were that I would be able to fix all of her pain, which is just not the case. You know, I rely on faith a lot for that, where I like, God, let my hands heal these patients, right? Let my knowledge help heal these patients in whatever way. And for some reason, she had been going through a lot of pain. And so it was a crying experience. Like she was crying. I wanted to just like cry with her, because it was like, I wish I could have helped in a better way, in a more immediate way. So But after the fact, it still affected me. And so I was like, okay, why am I feeling this way? And I realized that it was because the situation was out of my control, and that as much as I wish that I could say I can help every patient immediately, I'm not able to. So it was also more of a pride thing where I was like, gosh, why am I not able to do this? Like, I should be able to do this. I am a great physical therapist. I can help people. So it came down to pride and then also like a lack of self-control. But it took me stepping away from that situation, taking awareness of my emotional state, realizing where I was and why I was feeling that negativity and having that anxious mindset. And so not sort of I don't know, demeaning myself and feeling that way, but being more curious, like, why am I feeling this way? Why am I responding this way? Rather than like, gosh, dang it, Kelsey, why did you respond this way? Why are you feeling so negative? Like beating yourself up. So it's about checking in emotionally, understanding the feeling and letting that feeling in your body talk to you. A lot of the times we feel pain, we feel sadness, we feel anxiety, we feel negativity because it's our body's way, our brain's way of trying to tell us something. And so it just shouts at us really loudly, whether physically in the form of pain or emotionally in the form of like a negative mindset. And so some of the time it just takes us pausing, checking in on that sensation. So for me, a lot of the time, I think I've mentioned this before, but it manifests itself physically in the left side of my head in a form of a headache in my brain, right? And so I focus on that part of my brain and I say, you know, what are you trying to tell me? I'm feeling this sensation of pain. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling like I'm getting stuck in this sort of negative mindset. What are you trying to tell me? And not judging it, not being like, you should be positive, you know, but really saying, and listening to it, giving it an opportunity to speak to me. And that's both with physical symptoms and then also with emotional symptoms. So I call it a mindfulness check-in. And again, it's just allowing your body and your emotions to talk to you and let you understand it. Because when you're in that stressful situation or that, yeah, just that like mindset, it's hard to get out of it. And so having a way to sort of check in and be like, okay, I was with that patient. I was getting anxious. It was not the time to have this mindfulness check-in yet, but now's the time. Like now I have a second to pause, take inventory of what my body's feeling, take inventory of what I'm sensing emotionally. Why am I sensing that way? And really trying to get to the deeper why. And again, I'm saying all of this as if I have it like all figured out. I definitely do not. Like this is something, again, this is what I mean by active. Like a lot of the time I have to remind myself, okay, Kelsey, you are feeling this way. Like you're not able to analyze it appropriately now. You're not able to meditate on it right now, but let's take a second, you know, at lunchtime where you're able to really think about it, give it the space to talk. That way it's not just compounding this negativity. That way you don't have one interaction with a friend that leads to another bad interaction that leads to another, right? It's like you're stopping it in its tracks. So I like to call that a mindfulness check-in. And again, I'm working on it just as much as I'm like telling you guys about it, but it's one of the things that has helped me to take more of an active approach in regards to managing that negative mindset that I can often get stuck in. So as far as, again, I have to include some sort of sciencey part to this too, but negative mindsets and the brain, they feed into each other, right? And so in regards to body pain, we have what we call sort of the primary somatosensory cortex and the primary motor cortex. So it's the motor areas, our motion areas of the brain, along with our sensation areas of the brain. And they're structured on what we call, it's a funky word, homunculus, but we have the sensory homunculus and the motor homunculus. And the homunculus is just an area in the brain that maps the body. And so for the sensory area in the brain, our hands have a lot of sensation. So in that section of the brain, our hands take up a good portion of that homunculus. And so same with the motor, like it just maps various areas of our brain. And it, normally we have these specific ratios. So like our back, the sensation on our back is less fine-tuned than on our hands. So that area in the brain is a little smaller than when we're sensing things with our hands. So the same thing happens in chronic pain, where we call it smudging, where the brain starts to have a little bit of difficulty distinguishing the areas that are supposed to be receiving the signals. So, and it's not signals of pain, right? We don't actually have pain signals. It's signals regarding temperature, sharpness, pressure, all of these sorts of things that the brain then tries to make sense of. And so if we have this smudging where the areas start to get a little ombre, they start to blend a little bit more, then when our brain is sent these signals, we can start to interpret them as coming from different areas or sensing them from different areas. And so it's called smudging, but it happens in chronic pain where because we're in pain for so long, usually physically, but it can also be sensory as well, we start to have the smudging of these areas where it's harder for our brains to distinguish where it's coming from. And so it senses it in the wrong area where you might feel like low back pain is a big component of this. You might feel that you have low back pain, but if you've been in chronic pain for a long time, sometimes that pain can actually be coming from somewhere else, or that signal can actually be coming from somewhere else. And so imagine what this does emotionally too, where our brain just starts to smudge a little bit more. I like to think of the phrase like move it or lose it, right? Or use it or lose it, right? So if we keep traveling these pathways of negativity or of pain or, and again, that's not a true pathway, but for the sake of explanation, we'll say that's like one of the pathways. We start to get more familiar with that road, with that highway. And so our body reverts more towards that highway again and again, because we're used to it. We're like, hey, we know the direction's home. We know this direction. We're going to go in the form of like this negative mindset, or we're going to go by way of this pain highway or whatever it is. And so it's about taking an active approach to managing those highways that those communication pathways are driving on. That way it's not always going on that pathway of negativity or extreme pain. Again, not a pathway, but for the sake of this discussion, it'll just make it a little bit easier if we can think of that. It's basically our brain is perceiving that as pain. It's not that our brain is getting the signal of pain. So I also, again, this is just kind of the brain component of a negative mindset, but I was listening to a podcast from Godfather Huberman, of course, but he was talking with, I believe it was David Goggins, about consistently doing things that we don't want to do. So I think about it in relationship to, I don't know, if you're training for, or if you're trying to lose weight, let's say, and you really, really, really hate exercise, which is a patient example in this case too. If you really, really, really hate exercise, doing something that you don't want to do over and over and over and over again has been shown to help increase the size of your anterior mid-cingulate cortex, which is in your brain. And it's an area that in people who live for long periods of time, that area is expanded. And so it just allows us to better tackle harder and harder things that we don't want to do. So the brain both can get smudged a little and be affected by chronic pain, but it can also positively be affected by things, by doing things that we don't want to do over and over and over again. And so I'm all about sort of like a longevity fund, right? Like doing things for my body that my future self will thank me for. And so I come back anytime I'm having to do something I don't want to do, whether it's get up really early and work out when I want to sleep a little bit, or if I am really struggling with a patient interaction that I'm nervous about that day, whatever it might be, or if you're really struggling to work out because you just absolutely hate exercise, getting over that barrier will help that area in the brain grow, which will help our longevity. And so some of the time I like to think of like the benefits physiologically and like neurologically that happen when I do hard things, and especially when I'm in a negative mindset surrounding just various circumstances, it's nice to revert back to like, hey, Kelsey, if you get this done, even if you hate it, even if you hate it the whole time, especially if you hate it the whole time, you're going to be adding more and more deposits into that longevity fund. So again, it's not toxic positivity or anything like that, but knowing how the brain changes in response to overcoming barriers and doing things that I don't want to do helps me sort of manage that negative mindset a little bit more. So let's dive into just some specific examples and sort of how I approach handling the negative mindset and getting myself out of a negative mindset in an active way rather than a passive way. And I've already mentioned some of them with the mindfulness check-in, but let's break it down into like getting out like a negative mindset surrounding our circumstances and a negative mindset surrounding our like wellness. That can be workouts, that can be making the right fueling choices, whatever it is. So we'll start off with our external circumstances because I feel like this has a deeper effect on people than wellness, if that makes sense. Like if your loved one or if you yourself are going through significant amounts of illness, pain, things just back to back to back to back where it just feels like, or you notice your friends experiencing this, where I've been in this situation where one of my friends just had so many things happen to her back to back to back to back that I was just like, you know, dear God, why are these things happening? Why are you allowing these things to happen to her? It just seems like one sort of punch after the other. And she was not able to fully like get up in between and like rest and refresh and sort of help her get back on a positive mindset, right? It's so even from an external perspective, I was just noticing like life just seemed to be throwing her all of these things. And I was like, how is she even standing? How is she able to go to work every day knowing that one of her best friends just passed away? Her father passed away. She got an autoimmune condition. There was just all of these things back to back to back that a breakup, right? Like all of these things were happening to her. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to help her in some way. But as an outsider, I was amazed at how she was able to like take that negative mindset and take those negative circumstances and then turn them around and still function day to day. And so I think that's where this active approach comes in. But I do think negative mindsets surrounding our external circumstances are just so much harder to deal with compared to negative mindsets surrounding like a workout that we don't want to do, right? Compared to a loved one being in the hospital for an extended period of time, or you struggling with a chronic illness or surgeries during your, you know, collegiate athletic career that now you're a retired athlete where you don't know what the next steps are. I just feel like those are so much harder to deal with compared to more superficial things like I don't want to eat healthy food or I don't want to work out today, right? So we'll cover that a little bit first. And so an example of sort of external circumstances that I'm talking about here are dealing with a difficult friend, work challenges, sickness, school, illnesses, like literally anything in your environment that's causing you to feel any sort of negative feeling that we don't necessarily want to feel, sadness, anxiety, nervousness, just depression, like anything where we don't want to feel that way, right? And so a few sort of action items that I turn to, and again, it kind of depends on the circumstances and how aware I am of what I'm feeling as to which ones I turn to, but prayer and meditation are one of the, like, my primary go-tos. Prayer especially, where it's like, it's out of my control usually, and so I have to journal, I have to write things down. And I've realized too, this is sort of like getting into the minute details of my prayer and journaling sessions. If I try and act like everything's okay, that's actually worse. If I used to be the one where my diary was like not filled with crushes or any sort of truth, I would be like, dear diary, but because I was afraid someone would read it, right? But my prayer journal, I've realized like God knows, right? God knows what I'm sensing. God knows what I'm feeling. And if I'm lying on paper, I'm only lying to myself and I'm not exactly helping the scenario. So I will write in there, dear God, I am angry. Why are you letting this happen? Why did this happen? Like and again, I'm working on this myself, but I try and be super honest with how I'm feeling. And I feel like getting that out on paper really helps sort of clear my mind and start to meditate on what I'm feeling and what he's trying to tell me in this situation. So prayer, meditation, like a huge strategy for me when I'm in a negative mindset. And again, not judging, but being completely honest with him about how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling this way. And then asking him like, please reframe my mind. Help me to reframe my mind to be more curious about a certain interaction or to understand what you want me to experience from this circumstance or whatever it is, right? What do you want me to get out of it? Please help align my mindset and align my vision with what you're trying to do in my life right now. And so I think that just starts with being honest, whether that's if you're really good at praying just in your mind, or journaling, which again, I always have to journal or else my thoughts just go all over the place. So that is one of my primary sort of action ways to help get out of a negative mindset. The other one that I recently did, honestly, and it was through the Aura Ring, which I freaking love the Aura Ring, you guys, but they had these meditations on the app, and one of them was intention setting for the day. And so I was having a lot of anxiety surrounding, like, again, that patient interaction that I was having. It was before all of this happened. And so I was having a little bit of anxiety surrounding that interaction. And so I turned on this meditation and it really helped. It allowed me to set my intentions for the day in regards to like words or feelings that I wanted to look for or experiences I wanted to have that day. And I believe I set my intentions as joy and presence. So finding joy in each moment, and then also being present in each moment. And so by having those intentions set early in the day, I was better able to focus on it throughout the day and not let an experience that might have caused me like significant amounts of stress and anxiety get to me as much, because that was not my intention for the day, right? My intention was to find joy and to be present in all circumstances. And so that was a more recent one that I found like really, really helped me, was simply like saying and just going inward and being like, my intention for this experience, this circumstance, this conversation with a friend, whatever that might be, is joy, is presence, is curiosity. For example, if it's a friendship struggle that you're having where y'all are not on the same page and it's a really close friend of yours, approaching that with curiosity, not like I'm right, she's wrong, or whatever. It's like, okay, how is she feeling and how can I help get us on the same page so that our friendship is not affected by this experience? And so I think setting that intention again before the day, if you have sort of nerves surrounding the day, or before a conversation, an experience, a practical, a test, whatever that is. So I think that just helped me really recently, like this past week. The other thing is auditory alarms or visual alarms for that mindfulness check-in. So again, I said it's a super active process. And a lot of times if I say, okay, I'm going to do this mindfulness check-in later today, or I'm going, oh yeah, I can pray later in the day, and I don't have that visual or auditory cue, oftentimes it'll get pushed under the rug because it's not a deadline that I have set necessarily. It's more of an internal thing. But showing up for yourself internally is just as important as your external deadlines. And so I think having that auditory or that visual alert system to say, hey, remember that patient interaction that you had earlier where you were fearful, anxious, nervous, sad? Now's the time to check in on that. You know, set an alarm for lunch, set an alarm when you know that you'll have 5 or 10 minutes to give that experience space to speak to you. The other thing, and again, this goes back to this patient experience that I had, is communication, right? And getting it off your chest. So for me, that looks like talking to my husband, talking to my sister, like what I did when I had that sort of negative mindset surrounding that experience. I was like, Emily, it is eating me up and I hate that it like is affecting me for multiple days. And she's like, Kelsey, you need to write a podcast episode on this because I know that you'll have some tips and tricks to get out of it. And so, but communication, like getting it off my chest and verbally telling someone, like, and understanding like, hey, I'm feeling this inside. I hate that it's affecting me this many days in a row or this many hours. I need to get it off my chest. And that really helped get me over the hump because I don't want to give that experience any more time than that hour or hour and a half that I had to prepare for it, right? There's no use having it stress me out when I can't even control it. So getting it off your chest, I feel like really helps. And I always think, I've learned this through a lot of just sort of relationship books and mindset books and self-help books, of course, like, but I feel like the more you keep things internal, the more the devil can get a grip on you, right? And if you bring it externally and put it out in the open, it sort of, in my mind, like releases his grip on those thoughts on for me, right? So if it is that patient experience, it's like, if I let it just fester in my brain, it would have grown and grown and grown, and no one else would have been able to help me sort of expand and release his grip on my mind. And so getting it out in the open, I really do picture the grip just releasing, right? Where I'm not letting it affect me anymore because I'm telling someone about it. I'm telling someone, I'm being vulnerable enough that I am in a negative mindset to tell someone about it. and to not let him use my sort of pride in keeping it to myself against me. So getting it out in the open, communicating when you are in this negative mindset or what you're truly feeling, I do think really, really helps. And then lastly, especially with negative circumstances, therapy, like professional help. Never, never, never be afraid to contact someone or get someone else's opinion, an external person to the situation who has knowledge and education and experience surrounding how to get someone out of this negative mindset or how to help them actively reverse all of the sort of thoughts and patterns that they found themselves in. I know it has significantly helped me over the past, gosh, maybe 8 months now or so, but it's just super duper active and super duper like exhausting and fatiguing to try and rewire your brain, but it is so, so, so beneficial. And I really do feel like that's why I have now been better able to understand myself, my mindset, my emotions, and how active I have to be in regards to not going down into a spiral into that negative mindset. And so, yes, it helps substantially, and never, never, never be afraid to put that effort in and put that work in for yourself and put that money, that financial, money down to help your own mindset, right? So I just, yes, I cannot overstate that enough, I guess, if that makes sense. Yes, I cannot overstate that enough, that receive, like go to professional therapy if you feel like you're just having trouble breaking that cycle or setting boundaries or learning about how to better help your mindset, because that manifests itself physically. And that's really what caused me to want to receive help from an external source who had way more knowledge than I ever will have on the subject, but it's substantially helped. So definitely that's one of the action items. And again, super like active, not passive at all. It's not just go and you'll get healed. It takes a lot of work and effort. So let's move into the negative mindset surrounding workouts and overall wellness. A little bit lighter of a topic, just because, again, I feel like some of the time it's harder to get out of the negative mindset when it just feels like life is throwing you at things versus when you have goals set for yourself for like working out, fueling the right way, sleeping 7 to 9 hours, whatever it is. So I usually think of negative mindset surrounding workouts because I've experienced patients with that. I've gone through that with my own workouts where I'm just not feeling it. And so a few of the things that have helped me get out of a negative mindset when it comes to my own sort of workout and wellness routines are switching it up. So especially with workouts, I love strength training, but probably about a year ago, I was like, you know what? I'm through with my strength training routine. Like, I am not motivated anymore. Let me switch it up. I switched it up consistently for probably about 4 to 6 weeks with just Pilates. And then I had this renewed sense of confidence and renewed sense of energy in my own workouts. And I was better able to mesh the two together. And so now I sort of have the right balance where I'm not getting burnt out on one or the other. And so I added in running too recently. So switching things up or changing it with the seasons, I feel like helps too. Like in the summer right now, swimming, right? I always like swimming in the summer and doing my old swim team workouts, but switching it up really, really helps. The other thing that helps is setting a timer for me is setting a timer for like 5 minutes, especially if I don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, let me just set the timer for 5 minutes. Let's see what we get to. And if I don't want to after it, that's fine. My body's not into it. And I'd say probably 90% of the time, I actually end up finishing the workout. And so something about just getting over that hump. I feel like when I was applying to PT school and applying to college, and you have to write all of these essays, they were like, okay, set a timer for like 5 minutes, write your essay. And if you're not feeling it, if the ideas aren't flowing, stop and come back to it. And so I approached it the same way with workouts when I'm having a hard time sort of deciding what to do or just having a negative mindset surrounding a workout. The other thing I do is if I know that I need to get in a tough workout, for example, if I've already done my like 2 Pilates sessions each week, which I really look forward to, and I know that I need to actually build muscle and do one of the sweaty strength workouts, then I'll do something first that'll help ease me into that workout. So I'll go for a walk, which I try and do 5 30-minute walks or 30-minute walk five times a week. And so I'll say, hey, let me walk first. And by that time, I'm already sweaty, so I'll just be better able to get in my workout. Or let me walk for 5 minutes, and then I'll start my workout. And so adding in, like if that strength workout, that super sweaty strength workout is a high barrier to entry, try a lower barrier activity, like doing body weight exercises for the exercises that you're about to do for the strength session, or adding in a walk that you'll probably get to later on, but taking off some of that time, do a 5-10 minute walk and then ease into that workout. And so that's really helped me. So I have on here, it's like bargaining with myself, like, okay, Kelsey, if you do a body weight set, then you can do the heavier strength set, but you got to warm up first. So if you can do something with a lower threshold to entry, it can oftentimes help you reach that like harder, heavier entry point, if that makes sense. This also works for me with runs. Like if I really don't want to run, sometimes I'll say, okay, Kelsey, just 3 hill sprints. That's all you got. That's all you have to give me. And then by the time I do 3, I'm like, okay, well, my goal really was 10. Let me get 10 in. And so it's promising yourself like, okay, we can stop after 3. But then by the time you've done 3, you really want to honor that commitment you had for yourself to do that harder workout. And so then you're better able, or you're more likely to do it. So that works for me. But the last thing when it comes to negative mindset surrounding like all of wellness is finding that deeper why. And I feel like I have a few episodes on this, definitely a few blog posts. Like I'm super passionate about this, but finding that deeper why, like why you are actually wanting to move your body, why deeper than like aesthetic goals, or because I was told to, or because Kelsey says it's good for me, whatever it is, like find that deeper why. And for me, it's so that I can keep my body as healthy as I can for as long as I can, so that I can ski when I'm 90, get up and down off the floor really easily to play with future grandkids or great grandkids. So that is my deeper why. And I look at each and every little workout, water, fueling, as a way to add to that longevity fund. And so I feel like having that deeper why, whatever that means for you, is something to rely on when you're stuck in a negative mindset surrounding any sort of wellness habits. And it's really helped me, especially when I'm just in a sort of workout or wellness rut. So overall, when managing a negative mindset, again, this is one of the hardest things for me because it is so active and it does affect me physically. And so I'm a very sort of like type A, like sympathetic fight or flight person. Like it's hard for me to sort of calm, relax, rest, digest. And a lot of my physiological processes mimic that state that I'm in. And so this is really, really hard for me to sort of calm my mind and control my mind enough. But I am getting so, so much better. And I've realized that it is such an active process where having these visual cues, having these auditory cues, having these moments of like actually setting a timer and checking in with my body and checking in with my emotions, it really does help so, so much. So having those routines that we can rely on when we are hit with a negative circumstance or a negative mindset, that's really what we have to fall back on. And so before we even have that interaction or have that circumstance or have that propensity towards a negative mindset, having those routines built in where we have these sort of weekly check-ins with ourselves, these weekly or daily sort of mindfulness check-ins or workouts or wellness routines or whatever, that we're like, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Being proactive about managing that negative mindset or giving space for when you feel that negativity to sort of check in and understand where that's truly coming from. And so I think it's not about saying like, oh, when I get that, you know, anxiety or that nervousness or that sadness, I'll manage it then. It's about consistently checking in. That way it's not silently building up when we don't even realize because we're too busy on like a work stretch, or we have so much work we have to get done that we push everything else to the side. So I think it's super important to have those routines built in and then to make it also an active process as much as we want to make it a passive process. So I hope this helped you guys. Again, me talking through all of these things really helps me to just going forward, think about what I want to implement in my own life and in my own routine, because I'm learning and I'm practicing just like all of you guys. So I hope this helped. If you have any other tips that help you how to get out of a negative mindset, I would love to hear them. I'll try and put a little comment box below. But thank you guys so much for listening. A reminder that we have that Summer Shorty series that is absolutely free. I'll put the sign up in the show notes below. 4 weeks, 10 to 20 minute workouts, multiple each week. That way you can make sure when you're traveling, when you're short on time, that you're also able to reach whatever workout movement wellness goals you have. The shorty workouts are also good ones to sort of intro and get over that negative mindset for if you're not feeling like working out one day. So starting that 10 minute workout, being like, okay, I'm only going to do 10 minutes. And then after that, like, okay, I just did a glute one. Like that felt pretty good. Let me add an upper body one. 10 minutes is all I've got to commit to. So it's a nice way to ease into that workout and having a lower barrier to entry. So if you want to sign up, I'll leave that in the show notes. And again, thank you guys so, so much for following along. I hope you learned something today. And I hope that we can all sort of combat whatever negative mindsets might affect us for the next week, month, years, like the rest of our lives. So thank you guys again for following along. Please subscribe if you haven't already. It helps me out a ton. If you're more of a visual learner and want to watch it, the episode is on YouTube. And yeah, thank you guys so, so much. And I'll see you guys again on the next Wellness Big Sister podcast.